everybody. This is Brett. Today is Friday, February 21st. Free bonus Friday around here. So if you're new, you're about to be introduced to our third subscriber-only production. 2 weeks ago, we did Picture of the Month Club. Last week, In Pursuit of Utopia. This week, The Discomfort Zone. Brand new episode just released today. Season 3, Episode 5, The More, The More. There's a description of this in the show notes. It's a phrase that I borrowed from my friend Scott Hambrick from Online Great Books. And the idea behind the more is the more you do, the more you think about doing, the more you believe you can do, the more you want to do, etc., etc. Also true, as Online Great Books co-host Dr. Carl Schutt pointed out, the less, the less. The less you do, the less you think about doing, the less you want to do, the less you believe you can do. So where's the balance? And it's probably different for everybody. On today's show, you're going to hear about an edge case named Andrew. I'm going to give you 15 minutes of it, but I'm actually going to cut out a part about me because it's very personal. That's why we do this as a supporter-only show. It controls the number of people who get to hear very personal things about us. So we'll skip over me and get right to a problem that I'm sure a lot of people are having. Not to the extremes. Discomfort Zone co-host Andrew is having this problem. But our topic today, in a word, is focus. And focus is something that can be evaluated on a variety of scales. Level of focus, you know, from hour to hour, from task to task. Focus on the one big thing that you have to do today. Focus on short to medium term goals. Focus in terms of having a vision that you are pursuing with everything you do. And we will cover most of that in this whole conversation. If you want access to this and probably about 40 previous episodes of The Discomfort Zone, which is a personal and professional development conversation, you can go to schoolsucksproject.com/AV to see all the ways to access it, which includes joining the AV Club, supporting us on Subscribestar, or, and I'll give you a direct link for this, if you just want it right now, right when you finish, and you can also access every single episode of The Discomfort Zone this way, please go to patreon.com/schoolsucks, patreon.com/schoolsucks. Thank you to everybody who has jumped in to support us this month, and I will be back to talk to you guys again Monday or Tuesday. Get something new and exciting happening next week. Also, on a final note, we're 2 weeks away from the encore presentation of the Ideas into Action Summit. You can obtain that now and start going through it for yourself. So when those days roll around, March 7th, March 14th, March 21st, you can be prepared to participate in a discussion with me, possibly with a few of the presenters, about what you heard. If you have follow-up questions, I think people who enrolled this time have an advantage because we had to create this product while we were doing it last time. Now it's done. You can have it today. And remember, if you look at the price and you say, that's too much money, just send me an email saying too much money. Let's talk about how you can help yourself with a better deal and help your favorite presenter. Just email me, brett@schoolsucksproject.com. Too much money. Also, if you've never heard The Discomfort Zone before, and you probably, if you listen to the podcast, you probably have, because I posted one for free, I think, within the last 6 weeks or so with Alex and Drew. We have guests on a lot, too. They bring their issues, and we try to help. But we have, if you've ever been in a mastermind, mastermind meetings often start with every participant giving a weekly win. At the very beginning of The Discomfort Zone, which I think was like late 2018, we said our weekly win would be called Punching the World in the Dick. So the conversation, if you did not have that information, the early part of this conversation would be extremely confusing. What are they talking about? That's what it means. Like, what is the most significant achievement that you want to share right now? How did you punch the world in the dick? I hope it's okay that we say that. I hope it's okay that I'm telling you this right now. I hope this doesn't make you uncomfortable. I hope you can still enjoy the show. So if you want to hear more, please go to schoolsucksproject.com/AV. Help us out so we can continue to grow. Over the last month, we've had about 35,000 unique visitors at schoolsucksproject.com. We were on pace last time I checked to have 250,000 podcast downloads for the month of February, which is our littlest month. So that's great. And hopefully that will continue. Your support is certainly helpful. Thank you so much for listening. And here is the first quarter of season 3, episode 5, The Discomfort Zone, the more, the more.
Okay. It is clear to everybody outside of you that you are trying to do too many things, and that's why this is happening.
Okay.
Do you agree with that?
To a point.
I am inspired by how many things you try to do, but there's only so much time, there's only so much energy, there is only so much focus. So you're seeing the cost in time, maybe not so much in energy, but definitely in focus. I don't know how at this point you do any less than what you're already doing. I think you're kind of stuck.
I think so too.
That's more of a personal decision that you're going to have to make, is what you let go to re-achieve a kind of equilibrium here in life.
I don't think that's a thing for me.
Okay, I believe you.
Welcome to season 4, episode 1.
No.
Why not?
Because we just started season 3.
We did?
We only did like 3 episodes in season 3.
But it's been like a year.
I know. It was last year, the last time we did a discomfort zone.
Not true.
What?
We did a New Year's one after New Year with Drew and Alex.
Ah, that's right. We haven't done one just for our supporters since sweet young Nick Hazelton.
Oh, yeah.
Do you ever get any updates from him?
No, and I'm wondering. Nick, update me.
Yeah. Nick, did you start a pot farm in Oregon? So, anyway, why don't we just get right into it with our weekly punchings of the dick.
Okay,
how
you start.
How did you punch the world? How do I punch the world in the dick? Oh, I don't know, Andrew. I mean,
you seem so busy all the time. You're just punching away.
I feel like Rocky. When he goes into the meat place, you know, in Rocky 1 to box with the meat, it's just dicks.
Yeah.
And they're just there to be
frozen
hit.
Frozen dicks.
Hanging on hooks, there to be hit. I don't know. The thing I'm most excited about this week is...
Well, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
My dick punchings, there's a lot of dicks being punched, but just picture me... punching all these dicks, but I'm in a pool of water. So instead of swimming, I'm busy punching. Therefore, I'm drowning and punching.
Yeah, you need your arms to swim.
Yeah, yeah, but they're too busy punching.
Okay, tell me more about that. I love this imagery.
So you're aware, and we did some kind of show with some people, I think, right? We recorded it.
What?
A couple weeks ago, where I talked about professional situations.
Yeah, I didn't put that out, but okay. Yeah.
Well, anyway... Yeah, I wasn't sure if anybody heard it or not. But the dick punchings are, I've at least worked in a way and presented myself in a way and established myself in a way that I have a lot of opportunities.
Mm.
And that's great. They're kind of overwhelming and their complexity and all that. And I'm not going to get into that today. But it's great to have all of those. Everything, like the future looks good.
Sure.
No matter which one of these paths I might take.
Right.
So... it's great to have all these options. The downside is, in the face of all these options, I cannot get focused and get moving on the stuff that needs just to be done. in daily life and business.
Did we just segue right into a pain point to deal,
yeah,
to
yeah.
deal with?
Yep. I always blend dicks and pain.
Yeah. All right. So the thing is, like, there's
sorry, your face.
There's opportunity, and that's the win.
Well, it keeps knocking.
Mm-hmm.
And I got another opportunity, too, that I would hate to pass up. This is something that I need to act on very quickly if I'm going to act on it at all. And I do not have the mental capacity or the freedom in my time or calendar to take advantage of this opportunity. But the last thing I want to do is let it just pass.
Okay. Can you talk about it?
Yeah. It's just another house opportunity in the short-term rental world.
Mm-hmm.
It's an opportunity that I think might be the cleanest, easiest one yet.
I don't know. It seems like you're kind of still in the process of getting one up and
running. That's why I'm hesitant. If yeah. I wasn't in that place, dragging my feet on that front, then yes, there'd be no question I should take advantage of this opportunity. But it would also be crazy to go for this opportunity when I haven't finished the other ones.
I agree.
That's a real problem.
Yeah.
That's my problem. That's a huge pain point for me, because I honestly feel like physical pain when I think about not acting on this opportunity.
Then you need to stop torturing yourself. Because here's what I think you do. Tell me if I'm wrong. I think sometimes you, in an effort to, because I do stuff like this too, feel productive, you look for more opportunities.
Yes.
Okay. And a lot
of that's also part of my job. Like, it's ingrained in me that my job is to look for opportunities.
Mm-hmm. But you're spending time looking at things that you probably can't act on with 100% effectiveness
right now.
So that is time wasted, I would say.
The problem is this opportunity will expire.
Okay, when?
Honestly, there's no definitive date, but it's not an opportunity that will be there 1 month from now.
What's so great about it?
It's a house that is a killer house. It was recently rehabbed. The costs for me to get started are none. The ease of getting started, like the barriers to getting up and running, are less than they've ever been up to this point in this world of mine. And the potential of this place is very high. And the ongoing costs are not very high at all relative to the potential, right? Because you could just say, yeah, it's going to cost $3,000 a month. Well, mm-hmm. that sounds like a lot of money. It's not a lot of money if it's going to bring in $6,000 a month or $9,000 a month.
And it's pretty turnkey.
It is more turnkey than anything I've done. That's what makes it very appealing. That and its income potential. But in my world, what makes it appealing is the location of it, the size of it compared to the location.
Mm-hmm.
And what I have models, literally. Real estate is very geographic, right?
Yeah.
It's very localized.
Mm-hmm.
Location is the most important thing. And I have a comparably located place just a couple blocks away to compare with. And this place is much smaller, much less nice, and it does extremely well.
What's the area just for my
Squirrel Hill.
Ooh.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's where Fred Rogers lived. I'm sorry. I'm dying.
What happened?
I had an apple earlier, and I think pieces of it are in my throat.
Are you allergic?
I hope not.
I hope so, too.
Because this is what happened with avocados a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Just one day. Mm-hmm. Couldn't do it.
Mm. Right.
But, Squirrel Hill. It's a great neighborhood.
It is. Yeah. It's one of the nicest places in town.
And it's a great place for what I do.
All right. Now, am I being kind of a dickhole if I point out that you
are way behind on where I want to be?
With a place that you already have
yes.
that has tons of potential.
Two places.
Wait, the other one out this way? Does that count as one
no.
of those places? Oh, okay.
The small house that our friend Puke used to live in.
Okay, right. So that's down in the South Hills, and then you have one a little bit further out of town that is a really interesting place, but has been languishing in a state of unfinish for quite some time.
Yes.
So is that information that's useful to you in... You're already doing too much if this place that has all this great potential still remains undone.
Yeah.
Okay.
100%. That's the one thing holding me up. That's the one thing stopping me from immediately running after this opportunity with all the force in the world behind me.
Do you attribute this to having too many things on your plate or a lack of focus?
Lack of focus.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that.
Okay. I like the idea of being the guy who's always doing too much.
Okay.
Like I was exchanging messages with a woman and the feeling I got from her was she's always very busy, and not busy in the sense like, oh yeah, I'm going out clubbing, so it's taking up my time.
Mm-hmm.
It's she's working. She landed a job recently. She's doing all these physical activities like boxing and volleyball and gym and all these classes, spinning.
Yeah.
Things like that. And I just said, and it came out in a weird way, but I liked that I asked this question. And I said, are you the type of person who is always working towards something and never takes a break or rests, really? Like, that's always on your mind and you always want to be working towards some goal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she was reluctant to answer yes, because she thought that I was perceiving that as a bad thing.
Always working on something, not finishing?
No, not finishing, just always in go mode.
Always in go mode. Sure.
So I want to be perceived that way too.
You are. You ride by your friends on a unicycle juggling bowling pins and say, not right now, not right now, not right now. This is your affect.
No, I don't. I always say, yeah, sure, right now.
Oh, yeah. You'll take on more stuff now. Like, I'll do stuff with friends now. Sure. Hop on.
Yeah.
And we're like, it's a unicycle.
Yeah. I got another arm.
Right.
But yeah, because of that, I can't focus. So how long until that unicycle crashes?
Soon, I would think.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember when we did our first show with Zach, and you know, this was back when we were in Crafton. This was 2018, maybe.
Yep.
And we did, I forget what the topic of the show was. It might have been those ambition mapping shows that we did. And he was talking about the difference between being a productive person and being an effective person.
Yes.
Right. Always having that one thing, it seems almost impossible in your world to have the one thing, even like on a day-by-day basis, because you have a job that dictates you going in all these different directions, and you have, you know, a handful of real estate things, opportunities that are in different states of completion. So it's hard for you to find the one thing. And I think that's got to be the key.
And I keep on trying all these different things, like getting things done and Evernote. And in the end, Evernote just ended up being at most a capture device, but mostly a reference device. And that's all it is.
I'm starting to worry that it's making me dumber.
Yeah.
Because nothing goes in my brain anymore.
Right.
I used to have to remember things.
Yeah. I forget things way more easily and more quickly now than I used to.
But
when I had no system, everything went in my head and stayed there.
Well, the head is for having ideas, as David Allen said.
I know.
For holding them,
Yes.
Right. I said that on a show recently. And I don't know. It occurred to me in a very confronting way a few months ago. It's like, I'm not holding any ideas and I'm not having any either. So something's got to change.
Mm.
Right. So I actually started trying to work on both more by having more ideas.
How are you doing that?
Collecting more inputs, reading more.
Okay.
That's been helpful.
Yeah. I think I'm...
But not reading too much that it's just going to become a bunch of noise.
Yeah. That's where I'm at.
Because that
overload.
Yeah. I can only process so many things effectively and make use of even fewer things.
Yeah. And I have a hard time defining where that line is.
Mm, yeah. I don't know. It's... have a couple of books going at a time, tops.
Okay. But what about all the podcasts?
The only podcasts that I really listen to are me. And it's like when I'm recording
you don't think
them.
That's a problem?
When I'm recording them and editing them. I'm trying to think what else. I keep adding things to listen to,
mm-hmm.
like that are all like super helpful. Like I deleted all the crap. I listen to Portman Show. I love that. But other than that, there isn't much fluff in my feed. Minimal. There's minimal fluff. But then I can't get into them. I can't make time for them. I listened to a bunch of the Bigger Pockets podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of it was actionable, but I couldn't stick with it. It's not like a great show.
Yeah, no, you know? I agree. Very few shows are actually great. I just picked up this new show that I've been listening to pretty consistently, but it's almost unlistenable.
Mm-hmm.
But there is good content in there. It's just audibly bad. There's no production. There's no format to it. It's just a very open discussion. But yeah, I think that helps keep me unfocused, though. Because I do it while I'm doing something with my hands and not my brain.
I'm doing a lot less of that.
Really?
And one of the things that I'm doing, like if I go to the gym by myself,
yeah,
no headphones. Just Brett, mind and body.
Shit, I'm doing the exact opposite. I just bought a pair of Bluetooth headphones, so when I go to the gym alone, I have something to listen to that isn't tethered to a wire.
Yeah, I get that. I tried that for a while. Drive around in my car in silence, just with my thoughts.
Yeah, I do a lot of that. I mean, yesterday, my entire day, in spite of trying to stay afloat, my entire day yesterday was pretty much get in the car, drive nowhere, but everywhere at the same time. And I didn't consume 1 second of information. I didn't consume 1 second of podcasts or books. It was music the entire day, if anything.
So describe, like, you must get up in the morning and say, okay, focus, here's what we're doing. And then at some point in the day, that's no longer the case. What do you think happens?
Well, I'm noticing a couple of things. So let's just say 2020 is a year for experimenting, if nothing else.
Okay.
So it started off by experimenting with not drinking to see if anything positive came out of that.
Yeah.
Maybe I didn't do it long enough, but nothing positive came out of it. Except maybe that I had a harder time falling asleep. And that's really it.
Oh, do you know about white noise machines?
I've heard of them, yeah.
I got one.
They're called televisions.
No. This thing just goes... So good. So good.
Well, lucky for me, right above my head is a what's called a ductless HVAC unit. It's a heater. It's electric, and it blows air pretty consistently, and it's white noise.
Just have it set to constant blow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Okay. I think that should help you sleep.
But anyway, so the point is experimenting. So that was the first thing. The second thing was over Christmas break, I counted calories just to see how much I was really consuming and if I was actually staying under the macro totals that we're trying to hit. If you haven't heard, listeners, Brett and I...
We got a diet, but it's a lifestyle. Yeah. Don't call it a diet.
Yeah.
Fatso?
Yeah. So I just kind of sort of blasted for a week on that just to see and recalibrate and kind of set my internal limits. So now I know, right? So when you're counting everything, then you get the idea and you go, okay, I don't have to count anymore.
Right.
But I'm back onto that because I want to operate at a calorie deficit. So now I'm counting again. But on top of that, I started intermittent fasting. So I'm trying all these experiments to see how things work out. And your original question was, do I lose focus throughout the day?
Yes.
And the answer is absolutely yes, but I am noticing from these experiments that they do affect me differently.